Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is a Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
Hey, there we go. Hey. Jennifer, last week you put a great photo out on the social medias of you broadcasting, kind of half in a closet, and you sounded, you're the best acoustics in your house. It sounds like you might be there again. Can we expect another video essay on this?
That's right. I am back in the halfway of the closet with dolls behind me. I got Barbie. We got Ray. All sorts of mermaids.
This is so great. I want to do a broadcast like that so I can say, coming to you live from the doll closet.
Yes.
It works. We're here to talk about all the Star Wars news, if there is some. It is an interesting time. We always have these dips. We love the big news. We love the trailer drops. And we love the times where there's just other things to discuss. But we do have some news to discuss today, and all that's coming your way. Before that, we want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, we'll have a Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. We always love to catch up and see what happened in our lives and how Star Wars found its way in. Jen, busy time for you. I know I finally made the transition to TikTok, and you were entertaining me with TikTok videos about Ewoks and Wookiees. So how's things going, and where's Star Wars found its way?
Good. We went to the Natural History Museum yesterday, saw a peek at the construction of the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art. It's really coming along nicely. Yeah, they definitely, it's a cool looking building from afar. But the History Museum was fascinating because, you know, they have all the dinosaur bones and they have the African Mammal Hall. And you're looking at these creatures and I can't help but see Star Wars creatures. You know, how you see the inspiration of where the concept artists, you know, they're taking, oh, that the elephant foot might work here with this creature and stuff like that. And it was just really inspiring.
Oh. It is. Yeah, it is. It is inspiring when you find Star Wars everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the Lucas thing, I've seen them looking for their hiring and the museum. And I'm like,
ooh.
Could I be a vendor? Could I sell hot dogs at the museum? Could that be my life?
Right. Exactly. Whatever I could be just to be, all, you know, not a fly on the wall, but yeah. Cause you know, George is going to come in. He's going to be there. Occasionally.
Yeah. Full disclosure. I think I had even mentioned it, you know, because my security director passed. At one point they were looking for a security director of the Lucas Museum. And I was like, is this it? Is this my time to go back to the business? Cause I envisioned meetings with George on Tuesday about any security concerns. And I was like, I bet that probably wouldn't happen, but yeah.
Oh, and one last thing I'll mention is that they have at the Natural History Museum in LA, the House of the Dragon Experience. It's really cool. And now this made me think the Mandalorian experience would be perfect at the Natural History Museum. Because the House of the Dragon Experience was cool, but it was kind of small. They have, you know, dragon skull. They have the Iron Throne. Great photo op. But the Mandalorian experience, as you guys know, that was incredible with the props and the costumes and all of that. And I thought, you know, maybe they'll bring it here, or maybe they'll take that experience to the Lucas Museum. So
yeah,
good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and even, you know, George, you know, his involvement being small, I get it. But, like, he just loved, you know, him on set for those shows. I love the behind-the-scenes stuff, especially in the light and magic of him on set of Mando. It could work from that point of view. It's just, I think your point is what I take, Jen. It's such a wonderful thing, that Mando experience.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's really put together so well. I mean, Joseph and I had so much fun there. Never want to speak for Joseph, but I do recall him taking many pictures of a wonderful astromech drummer.
I believe I had to apologize to you several times because I was like, just one more photo of this, just one more photo of that.
It was great. It was great.
Yeah.
Well,
so
good.
That was my weekend.
Love that. Joseph, so glad to have you here. And to pull you in for the TikTok stuff, I've always seen your wonderful TikTok videos, but I saw your face on one video and I went, Joseph's also shown his face. It was like an old video. The algorithms I don't understand yet.
Yeah, no, I'm very happy to do the action figure things. I know I need to do more things with my face because, yay, that's human psychology. People look at faces. And like the one video I did, like with no planning on a beach, got like double the views. Just shamed Lobot, who is the video like before. Yeah. Anyway, I love everything you guys are saying about the museums, the museum experiences. I really hope that the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art is just like this beautiful experience about storytelling. And then Lucas has also cut a deal to insert a Sbarro's in there. And you could see Lucas eating Sbarro's. That would be beautiful.
Joseph jumps away to my heart with a George Lucas Sbarro joke.
It is so, so great. Anyway, I'll keep my life in Star Wars adventures very short, because really my adventures, the way Star Wars came into my life, is it literally physically came back into my life. Everything that we packed up in Minnesota, all of our belongings from our storage space that we've had there for years, I packed up a few weeks ago, arrived in Los Angeles last week. And we got it all set up in our new storage space. I got all of my action figures in one place so I can go through them all. So this is just like this incredibly bizarre feeling to finally be reunited with all of my Star Wars figures. I have all of my Kenner figures in my apartment, and every action figure I own is within a mile of my body. I can just walk down the street and go visit all of my action figures. So I'm very excited about that. And then the kind of the fun emotional triumph of that is I had to pack fairly quickly in Minneapolis, and I packed everything the best I could, but the tub that I had put my Power of the Force 2 AT-AT in, AT-AT, got a little banged up, and I was like, oh no, But the jug was all smashed, the tub, but the AT-AT literally still stands. That is good Imperial work. And that AT-AT is still standing. And I was very happy to see that.
I love that. Good old Imperial engineering. Yeah.
That is right. So those are my adventures.
Awesome. On my side, pretty simple, pretty direct, busy time for me. But I did take time to watch the latest Lego adventure, the summer vacation one. I'm not sure if we're going to do a deep dive just the way our schedule's looking. When, even though Andor was pushed back, there's a lot of things going on around the Force Center spots around here. But I guess it was really fun. It's not as maybe as deep or as quote unquote good as the other ones. I don't know. I just had a lot of fun with it. It's so fun to just kind of turn off your Star Wars analytical mind and your canon mind and just watch some silliness in the galaxy far, far away. But there's some wonderful themes in there as well. So it does get a thumbs up recommendation from me, especially if you're a Weird Al fan, because you know Weird Al and Star Wars. It's wonderful.
Yeah, he's got that Scarif single, right?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's in there. He has a character now. He's canon adjacent. one step closer. So that was good. Also, want to shout out, I did a comedy show this week at Flappers, which is a lot of fun, big comedy club here in Burbank. And one of our Force Center listeners, one of our very dedicated listeners, Brian B.C. Tiller, who we had met at Star Wars Celebration, he was there with a friend. And it was just great to see a familiar face in the crowd, but also just chatted with him afterwards. And, you know, he's going through a lot. He's got highs, he's got lows, he's got losses, he's got new beginnings. He also is a big music fan, and he and I were talking about he and his 17-year-old daughter, as he describes her, an old soul, falling in love with music from bygone eras, which is actually the 90s, which is crazy. look at it that way. And it was just fun to talk about, you know, him being such a Star Wars guy and Star Wars in his heart, just to see the story being passed to the next generation, even in his own life. And as he experiences it in his own life with his father, not to him and to his daughter, it was one of the times where just the shared love of Star Wars is the thing underneath the conversation. You know what I mean? The thing to drive all of our experiences. So Brian, good to see you. Thanks for coming on out. Drove all the way up from Seal Beach to Burbank, which is quite a haul.
Yeah.
So there you go. Those are our Star Wars adventures. And now it's time to look at some Star Wars news. And this is an interesting one. It's a little small thing of news. And it's one that was like, yeah, it's not surprising, but it was said in such a way that I think it is newsworthy. And it's the real world politics on Andor. Shout out to our friends at Star Wars News Net, who kind of do a wonderful job of pulling in news stories everywhere and kind of a great spot to look at and kind of follow the links that you want to follow. Fiona Shaw will be playing the character of Marva in Andor, which is great. Sounds like a 1970s sitcom character. she did talk about some details about her character and her place in the story. We're going to avoid those details right now. Some of you might know them, some of you might not, and you might not want to. Not super spoilery, but just specific details. But moving beyond that, she spoke to Empire Magazine about the real-world politics baked into the show by Tony Gilroy and all involved. Let's not forget, there's a wonderful collection of writers and directors helping to shape the show as well. Tony, she says, has written a great scurrilous take on the Trumpian world. Our world is exploding in different places right now. People's rights are disappearing, and Andor reflects that. In the show, the Empire is taking over, and it feels like the same thing is happening in reality, too. She goes on to say, I was impressed by Tony's social realist intentions. He's created a whole new morality. It's very deep and humane. There is grief, mourning, hope, fear. It's not just primary colors here. So, Joseph, Jennifer, those are some very direct words about what the show is about. And like I said, it doesn't come with any surprises if you watch the first two trailers and just kind of know a little bit about Andor and kind of the themes underneath a lot of Rogue One. So that makes a lot of sense there. But what are our thoughts on this? Let's go anywhere we want to go with her comments and what's coming in the show, and what might the reaction be to that once the show hits, which is, I don't know, that could be the most interesting thing. Jennifer, your thoughts.
Ooh, yeah, the reaction to it all. Well, I personally am thrilled by what she is saying and what the show will be saying. You know, Star Wars has always been a commentary on our real world politics and society. So Andor is obviously following that tradition. But what I think is going to be different about Andor, what seems to be, is that it's going to be, dare I say, grittier and a little bit darker than some of the other Star Wars stories that we've gotten. Maybe even darker than Rogue One, it kind of seems like, which I find that kind of hard to believe knowing the ending. But although there's hope, obviously. But yeah, so that the reaction is what I worry about, because I think people are going to have a lot of hot takes there, and it might overshadow the beauty of the show or the, I don't know. I, what do you guys think? I worry about the reaction.
Yeah, I'll kick it to you, Joseph, because you're always more elegant on this than me, because I'm over here pumping my fist, not for the specifics and the direct mention of the Trumpian word, which can inflame a lot of passions, but just kind of, I understand what you're saying, Jen, and I don't want it to overshadow what's probably in the show, but I'm also kind of like doing that thing where I'm just putting my hands out and going, see? Star Wars is about things and has always been about things and it's always been political. So either you're on that train or you're not.
Right.
And it's okay to get off the train. But this train's going to move without you. If you don't want to, you know, leave it, or you do leave it, or if you're on it, it'll leave with you. You guys know what I'm saying. See, again, Joseph, step in here and save my bumbling burrito of words.
I just want to talk about trains now. Let's do Choo Choo Center. It'll be great. Also, Ken, I have to acknowledge that your take on Marva as a 70s sitcom name is perfect. And I hope she has a sunken space living room that she throws parties in with lots of weird dips. Gosh. That would be great.
A theme song. It's Marva.
Lots of Marva's spinoffs as well. Yeah, I think my big picture reaction to this is always to take it with a little bit of grain of Obi-Wan salt of a certain point of view. This is an actor's take, so always being aware of that. That said, I think everything she's saying sounds very accurate to the movie Rogue One, very accurate to what Tony Gilroy has already said, very accurate to the themes that are in those trailers, in my opinion. I think about the sort of political reaction to it from the fan base. I think for me, the Andor show is a ripping the Band-Aid off moment.
Yes.
Star Wars has always been political up to a point. If you listen to any interview with George Lucas going back to, the Empire's Nixon, the Ewoks are the Viet Cong. Like Lucas himself in interviews has never, ever been subtle about the intent.
Yeah,
I think that, you know, one of the great tensions of Star Wars, we're going to talk about this more, is that it can be enjoyed on different levels for different reasons, even by the same person on Tuesday. Yeah. I enjoy it for the pew pew, and on Thursday I enjoy it for the deep metaphors. But I think that we are at a point for me where it's fine for me to have anybody enjoy Star Wars the way they want to. And if somebody watched Andor or heard these interviews and said, this is too close to the real world and I don't enjoy that, I come to Star Wars for escapism, that person has every right to have that feeling, and they can vote with their dollars. They can vote with their time. They can express that opinion on social media, on their own, you know, blogs, sites, everything, in videos and TikToks. Those people who don't enjoy it because it's more explicitly political, have every right to say that. The line that I'm going to draw for myself is, sometimes I think people use this idea of, let's not talk about politics, there shouldn't be in politics in Star Wars, to silence other people. And not just express their own opinion, but to express the opinion that politics shouldn't be part of Star Wars. You shouldn't talk about them.
Yeah.
And that's the line I'm creating for myself. If other people, if other fans want to say, I don't like politics explicitly in Star Wars, I want to stay for its escapism, then enjoy your train. But you will not stop or silence my train. It is political. It has always been political. It looks as though Andor is going to be explicitly political, having real life analogies to what is going on today, but also the stuff that's going on today has specific actors, specific events that you can point at, but it's stuff that's happened again and again through time as human communities come together and form political groups that decide what our values are and how we should live and who should have power and who shouldn't. It is both absolutely of this moment, but it's also timeless. An authoritarian government that chokes you slowly so you don't notice. An authoritarian government that takes away this person's rights. Authoritarian government who hides what's really going on with propaganda. All that stuff is just absolutely essential and totally traditional to storytelling.
Well, see, there you go, my friends. Eloquent and elegant. Two different words, but also more meanings around here. No, I agree with it. Agree what you're saying, Joseph. So, a couple things that I really picked up on. The ripping of the Band-Aid off is one for me of just kind of what I was – the whole weird train analogy. It's just like this is where we're at. I really do agree with you on, hey, look, sometimes you just want to, you know, watch a space wizard with a laser sword because the real world is tough. I've had people have not just that conversation about Star Wars, but hey, you know, even with stand-up comedy, it's like I want to make sure I have something that's kind of poignant and with great purpose, but also I might have a bathroom joke just because we let's just laugh too. You know, I get – and the balance yep. can be tough. And sometimes the artist or creator mm-hmm. – might push the balance one way or the other, and the audience is either on board in that moment or in that film or show or not. And I understand that, the bigger conversation. But yeah, I think you're right. I think this is repeated themes too, and we're using specific words to specific times, the modern times, at least Fiona Shaw was. But yeah, the emotions of it all. I think even 7, 8, and 9, which don't have overt politics at times, in fact, Force Awakens seems to skip over it at moments, still has the emotions mm-hmm. behind a lot of the politics that are part of the grander picture, the themes that kind of repeat. So anyways, I second you on that stuff there. Happy to ride a train with you, sir.
We'll record on a train someday. We'll podcast from a train.
Jen, you got a conductor hat on. Where are you on this train?
Choo-choo. I'm a stowaway. Yeah, I think so well said, both of you. I'm trying to be very careful with how I say yeah. things just because, you know, people get really upset and riled up. And then what makes me sad is that then the whole discussion becomes about everyone just kind of arguing what their political beliefs are rather than looking at the actual art itself. What is the art trying to say? You know, we're gonna all view it in different ways depending on what we believe in and our own personal lenses, so to speak. And so, you know, yeah, this is gonna be interesting. I think it's gonna be good though, but you're right, ripping off that Band-Aid. Let's get through this because I want yeah. more of this. I think this is a wonderful yeah. start. Yeah.
The other like sorry, Ken, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say the other thing that Fiona Shaw is kinda saying in here, you know, about the complexity. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, the new morality, deep, humane. In some ways, that's the thing that I'm most interested in, because I think this is still a story of good guys and bad guys. The rebellion is coded in the world of Star Wars as correct. And then, you know, the Empire is the work of an evil space wizard. So it is like good guys and bad guys at the end of the day. But I think showcasing the complexity within that is really powerful and interesting. And I think for me, one of the big ideas in Rogue One that I think is going to be in Andor is this idea of it's really hard to allow yourself to hope for a better reality without that hope being crushed by doubt, mm-hmm. cynicism, nihilism, mm-hmm. that's dressed up as realism, saying nothing can ever change. And to me, that's explicitly political.
Yes, yeah.
right. Even down to like people that I currently politically agree with very, very much can give into that of like, it's not going to change, so why bother, you know, kind of thing. That's one of the biggest ideas to me that is explicitly political right now, but is also just such a big idea about humanity, of how easy it is to allow ourselves to crush our own hope.
That's a wonderful way to look at it. And her comments do touch on that. And we're going to a little bit of the Rogue One discussion, and there's more comments from Gilroy and Luna about stuff, but like, yeah, just it, look, it's very, and Jen, I'm with you. I'm bracing for impact, right? Because we're using specific, again, the Trumpian word. This will boil down into a Republican versus Democrat conversation, and that can get exhausting. And I think, Joseph, you're right, though. There's these universal themes. So I don't know, put the Bolsheviks in there. I don't care. Put it, any great revolution in history or any great, put it all in there because it's all history, and history does have a weird habit of repeating itself over and over. So that's why these themes are valuable. And what you're talking about, what she's talking about here, that's intriguing because I think this is going to be a great Star Wars story. I think I'm just that going to the rip the Band-Aid thing. I'm just tired of having those conversations online. And I don't have them a ton online, but having them even with old friends, long gone, who are Star Wars fans but don't see some of the stuff, you do not have to engage on Star Wars for the deep political themes. You do not have to. You can pew, pew, pew your way through it because it's very fun. And that's 90% of the time, I just want to pew, pew, pew when I'm watching on my own time. But to what you said, Joseph, don't bring politics into it. Just means please don't share your opinions on what's going on. let me stick in my corner. And then there follows a denial of what was there in the past from Jordan, saying it's Nixon. Literally, that's the quote. Anakin falls. He becomes friends with the Emperor, and the Emperor is Richard Milhouse Nixon. Lot Dodd. Look up Newt Gunray. We've talked about it on the show before. So it is there. If you don't want to engage with it, that's fine. You cannot deny that it's there. And this show is basically going to say, hey, guess what? It's there. And we're going to deal with it in a different way. And what I think is going to be a very compelling, maybe wild way. I mean, some of these comments, we're going to get into it here in a second. It's like, what is planned for this show? And you touched on Rogue One a little bit, Joseph. It's beloved. Rogue One's only grown in love, right? From 2016 to now. It's a Star Wars war picture, and it struck a chord in a very real world way in 2016. Think of those posters. Think of even some of the Leia, the passing of Carrie Fisher inspired people in a real world way. Is there, looking back now, and the world from 2016 to now, it seems like a short while ago. It's a longer time than we probably care to admit. And I think the world's changed dramatically since then, five times over. But what do we think about that movie and how it succeeds in being overtly political? Diego Luna, Cassian Andor, I think has some of the most overt political statements in Star Wars in that film, as well as others, including, I'm looking at you, Noor Jebel, Joseph's favorite politician to hate. How does it succeed in being overtly political and one of the best Star Wars pew-pew fest? How does it strike that chord, Joseph?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is partially just the quality of the filmmaking. You know, I think we've been talking about it a lot this episode, that the gift and curse of Star Wars is that it's thrilling if you engage with the depth in the themes, and it's super thrilling if you just engage with, honestly, the surface, the aesthetics, right? Rogue One looked and sounded cool as hell. I think some of the best action scenes in all of Star Wars, the action tied to the fates of the character and how much we care about them. The whole Scarif scene is really great action, but it's also like we're so afraid for these characters. So I think that people, I think Rogue One hit so hard because if you do just want to go to it as a, hey, this is one of those movies about how important it is to stand up to the bad guys. Like I think if it came out in, I don't know, 2006, there's a lot of American audiences would have just seen it as this is one of those evergreen stories about the big bad guys. And yeah, you got to rebel, right? It's not a problem if you don't look up. Oh man, I get that. That makes sense. But then I think it hit those themes hit very, very differently because it was right after Trump's election, after millions of people took to the street to protest what Trump as a human said, what he did, what he represented. And that feeling of, oh, these kind of the feeling of it could happen here. Authoritarianism could truly come here was what a lot of people's fears were, you know, not everybody. And that's fine. But that's what clearly millions of people felt. And for me to have almost we're talking about serious things, but I'm going to have a little bit of a sense of humor about it. To me, there's the fascinating 2016 battle between Rogue One in the film La La Land. They both came out in this sort of immediately shocked new climate, and I think Rogue One benefited from the fact of here is a picture that is about really hard situation, but you can still find hope in it.
Yeah. Right.
And I think La La Land, maybe people wouldn't have liked it at any time, but there was this visceral kind of double bird to La La Land. Because it, for me, when I saw it, it's like this is a fun modern musical. But the main conflict of La La Land is two incredibly beautiful people don't have exactly what they want in life, and I just feel like there's a reaction to like this is not the story kind of stories that the audience wants right now. They want Rogue One,
right?
Yeah. The changing desires. I was going to say demands, but I'll say desires of the audience is a big thing. It's a big thing of hey. too soon, too real, or too light.
Yeah, you know,
which isn't necessarily exactly the fault of the property. I'm a Lala fan as well. Only because I'm such a fan of Smokehouse, and I still walk in Smokehouse and go, they shot it here. And everyone goes, we know. No, well said. Look, Rogue One is a movie. It's not, I'm just fascinated by it too, because there's a lot of folks, a lot of friends of mine who love that movie, who are not overtly political in any way on either side or any, you know, they don't gauge it. They're just, oh my God, what a Star Wars film. That Star Destroyer hit the other Star Destroyer. And I'm like, I know, that's one of my favorite moments in Star Wars. I love it. But I also love what Admiral Raddus and Mon Mothma and everyone else say. It's time. And Noah Jabel's over there going, a Death Star, which still... fun stuff there. The ongoing feud between Joseph Scrimshaw and Noah Jabel is one of my favorite things in Force Center.
Well, and just to insert really quickly, I think that was a political thing that spoke to me. Is like, yeah, even Noah Jabel, who has joined an alliance, is still like, but we shouldn't do anything. And I'm not advocating for violence. Obviously, yeah, there's violence in Rogue One, but I'm talking about the sort of thematic connections.
Yes.
And Noah Jabel being the one of like, I joined up in theory to do something about this, but I won't do that. But I don't want to take action. And in particular, that line at Death Star, this is nonsense. It's that seeing a problem that is so truly frightening that it sounds absurd that you can say, you can't compare this current political figure to these horrors of the past. That's impossible.
Yeah.
It's just, to me, it really resonated to that. Like, oh, well, the first step is getting people to believe that things could actually get really bad.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Well, Tony Gilroy added, we're not done yet. Andor comes from the same place as everything else that's come out of this office, which I just love kind of old Hollywood sounding speak. It's a picture that comes out of our office, yeah? Clayton, the Bournes, the Devil's Advocate, and now this, it's full on drama. And then Diego Luna added, the series is insanely ambitious, dark, and real. Even as Tony was pitching me, I was like, this is amazing. You are sick. Real dark drama. Sick. So while Fiona Shaw does say there is hope in the story, where are we right now with those words and a Star Wars show? And this is one of those temperature testing kind of questions that even last week or weeks prior we're discussing of, you got to have some humor. You got to have hope. And Star Wars is a fairy tale, morality play. It's a fantasy. But also we can't deny there's this other side. And I pitch back to you, but I have some thoughts on where I am right now. But Jen, real dark drama, and you are sick, man. What do you think of those words?
Well, did he mean like, you're sick, like you're cool, you're really good?
Yeah.
Or did he mean you're sick and twisted for how you're approaching this story? Or, you know what I mean? Like, what? I guess I need to hear his voice.
Yeah.
What do you guys think before we dive in?
Go. Sorry, Ken. Go ahead.
I think a little bit of all column A's, B's, and C. Just, man, you're sick and twisted, but this is awesome, man. And
right.
You know, you're hella sick, dude. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of take it as that we have this huge cast of new characters because not all of them are going to make it out. And I think we're going to fall in love with characters we've never met. And then awful things are going to happen to them.
I mean, I love that. But yes, I like that.
Right. I mean, I think that, I'm excited because I think that, you know, they're being very intentional. I think casting that blonde actress to play the Imperial officer, I think that is intentional. I don't want to make too many assumptions, right? I feel like I could really go out there with some ideas that I might have. But I think what makes this exciting is what I love about art is that it has a point of view. It is a sociological critique. Exploring the human condition. I wanted to say something. That's why I love Star Wars. You can kind of just mindlessly watch it and have fun and it's entertainment, but it says something. It's cathartic for me to watch. It's why Rogue One was like so, I mean, I was emotional throughout that whole movie because I was like, this is what I want to do. These people are living out my fantasy, right? Not the violence part of it, but just like people coming together and rising up and fighting for what they believe in. And that is what I want my art to do. Otherwise, I mean, gosh, even like simple, you know, kids Disney films say something. And so I think when people say, I don't want, take all that out of there. Well, then what do you have? That's not art, in my opinion. All art has to have a point of view. So that's why I'm really excited. And I love that Tony Gilroy said, out of our office, like, or out of this office or whatever. I mean, he is making his mark, you know, and he's like, this is coming from me. This is what I want to say. And I'm thrilled with that.
Yeah. And the list of, you know, Michael Clayton, the boards, Devil's Advocate, you know, born aside some of the action. Yeah, I wouldn't think of those as Star Wars adjacent films. But at the same time, now I can kind of see the core of it there. Joseph, I'll kick it to you here. But one thing I have to admit, I love everything that's being said. I'm so excited. But I sometimes feel like I get pre-defensive of, like, say, the comedy in Last Jedi or Solo, or, you know, you and I and Jennifer are always saying here, Star Wars has a certain kind of light side to it, and a Saturday morning serial, this kind of stuff, that even I have to remind myself it's a big enough buffet to have something that's a real dark, dramatic sickness, whatever you say. I have to own that before you even go any deeper. But anyways, your thoughts.
Yeah, no, I really agree with you. I'm a big fan of the Bourne movies. And in some way, I do think they're a great a connection to Star Wars in that those movies are known for, honestly, the surface. It kind of breaking the doors open with a new fight style, a new filming style of fights for the time. And so, like, a huge part of what's thrilling about Bourne is the action. Those movies are all about, though, how Jason Bourne was made a weapon for a clandestine war and is being a tool of a possibly immoral state machinery and doesn't want to do it anymore. Spoilers for a really old film. There's that Star Wars image in the second one where he can go down the path of darkness and he literally ascends to the path of light. You know, they're films about super cool, entertaining to watch as an audience violence, all in the service of a character trying to get away from violence. That's very Star Wars and very Rogue One Andor to me.
Yeah. Right. No, I agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you get a little garden shovel out and dig. You start to see that stuff indeed. And yeah, I like the Bourne films as well.
Yeah. And then real quickly, I think we're on the same page with the real dark drama. I'm thrilled to have it. I'm very excited about it as a dish on the buffet. I just accept that some people's reaction, they're going to like it. And a lot of people are going to say, finally, this is what Star Wars should be. This is what The Mandalorian should be more like. You know, finally, Star Wars has grown up. All those things are going to come out and I'm going to bristle a little bit. Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, for me as a viewer, it'll be like, great, I love this. I also want Star Wars to be pulpy and silly. Mm-hmm. And as long as there are multiple dishes, that's great. And then final thought on the real dark drama thing to me is just like, I often think about A New Hope, that one film being the template of everything that Star Wars could be. And I love that if you really look at New Hope, it's a dark political story. If you look at the events and the choices, it's just the tone. The story is told in a zippy, wonderful, fast, uplifting, life-affirming way. But if you looked at all the events, you could remake A New Hope with a really different dark tone without changing a single event that happens.
Yeah. Just move that camera down to the surface of Alderaan and you have a horror film. Mm-hmm. So,
wow. Woo.
Well said. Yeah, like I said, I'm just trying to own the bar conversations I'm going to try to avoid in the future of which for that person is not wrong. But for me, it's something I will bristle as well. But you know what? I'm just going to stay in my joy. And my joy is what's coming in this series. I can't wait. Though I'm going to have to wait, as we discussed last week, with the slight delay in the show, but coming our way. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. Before we do, we're going to have a Force Center Recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. Joseph, what's on the table today?
We are recommending Padawan by Kirsten White. It is an early Obi-Wan Kenobi adventure, and I personally enjoyed the first few pages, which is all I've had time to read, but I'm sure it continues to be a great book.
I'm sure it is, because that's next on my list. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. All right, we can take a quick break on the other side, a little bit of news, a little bit of Star Wars history, and then we'll get on out of here on Force Center.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome back to Force Center. We're looking at the Star Wars news headlines of the day and of last week. Actually, this story was we were going to discuss last week, but then a little Andor trailer dropped in time for our episode, so we focused on that, I think, rightly so. But this story got left behind. I just wanted to discuss it here a little bit here. Lawrence Kasdan says no to a solo TV show. I mean, that's quite a clickbaity headline, I will admit. I wrote myself. But look a little deeper. While speaking with Inverse to promote Light and Magic, Lawrence Kasdan was asked about the idea of returning to the Star Wars galaxy with more solo content. Kasdan shoots down the idea in the interview, saying of a solo TV show, saying there's no talk of that. Almost if he's like, there's no talk of that. But I didn't hear his voice, so I don't want to assume that. There's no talk of that, and he wouldn't be particularly drawn to that. But he does say that he, his son John, and Ron Howard still talk a lot about what went right, what went wrong with the solo experience. I got to ask you, Joseph, what do you think those conversations are about, and where are they happening, and what are they like?
I'm sure some of it is the process stuff, right? It's not a secret that, you know, the Kasdans, I think, really wrote this script. And I think it starts as their idea. And then there's some conflict that we will probably never know the full truth about. And then Ron Howard comes in. And I think a lot of people are happy with the film, but then it doesn't do as well at the box office. And I'm sure they talk about the process stuff. But with those three, I'm sure it's also just like a real creative conversation, right? About the choices that were made, about the balance of what to reveal about Han and what to leave mysterious. Maybe how much the other characters have their own journey versus inform Han's journey. I think if I had been so lucky as to create something as awesome as Solo, and I constructed it to have all these interesting characters to support Han's story, and then a lot of fans are like, great, liked Han's story. but these other characters, tell me more about Enfys Nest. Tell me more about Kira. Can we get a Lando show? Like, I think that response to this thing would be something really fascinating to think about as a creator.
Yeah, no. Well said. And about maybe 2%, there should have been more tri-tip at the premiere. I think. Jen, your thoughts on what these conversations are about?
Yeah, you know, I have to think that maybe John is kind of leading the conversation. And the reason why is because I think he's really more clued into, like, the fans. And, you know, he's been active in the fan community. People are asking him, hey, what's going on with Solo? I mean, his idea to bring Enfys Nest Aaron Kellyman to Willow, I believe, if I'm remembering that correctly. Yeah. He was like, I wrote this part for her. I want to have her here. So I think that that is on his mind when they're all sitting around, whatever, and they're just talking about it and rehashing it. Cause I think John is probably pretty passionate about it and has a lot of ideas on how that would get done. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I for better or worse at times, John, because sometimes put a foot in the mouth or something like that. I know that, but he's out there. He's younger. I get it. He probably starts every conversation with reading down a list of positive tweets to Ron and Solo, making it happen, and all that stuff. Like, Gary, this is really good. Look. Yeah, I love that there. And of course, as always, I imagine all these conversations are happening at the Smokehouse because that's where I think every conversation happens. Lawrence Kasdan does say that he would be interested in doing a movie, though. And that's where kind of the twist on that headline comes from. He just seems like, I don't know, even though he just did this docuseries, Lawrence is probably a little bit of an old school guy. And it's TV. I don't know about that. Streaming. So what would a Solo 2 movie look like and feel to us now, especially in this post-Disney Plus world? Jen, any thoughts? I know a lot of people have a lot of ideas out there, and some people just want it to happen. But do you have any specifics in mind?
Yeah, I mean, never tell me the odds, but I'm going to tell you the odds because the odds will be stacked against them, unfortunately. I hate to say that because I would love a Solo 2 movie. But the reality is that there's so much pressure and so many expectations that it would have to perform phenomenally well. If it didn't, oh my, can you imagine all the videos and all the discussion online about that? You know, Star Wars is done. And I just think that there's too much weighing on it. I think the Han Solo adventures would make a fantastic series. I just don't think that it would really work as a movie. I can't see it in this day and age right now. I can't imagine it.
Yeah. And it might be a little bit of this Disney Plus effect where, I don't know, if you don't, maybe you make a movie, but don't release it in the theater, then, you know, there's a tree fall in the woods and no one watches it. Is it a movie? I don't know. You know, meaning, you know, we're seeing Prey released on Hulu and people are so, they love that film, but a lot of people, I wish it was in the theater. We're still having those conversations. It is a different landscape. So yeah, immediately, what does that do? I think the movie would still have some of the pressure, even if it's just a movie on Disney Plus, which I'm putting quotations on, just a movie on Disney Plus. It would still have this undeniable pressure, which I would wonder if it would hit. I think it could. I think it would. I think a story going forward, you can put more Cloud Riders. I want an Enfys Nest series, but I think Han, Chewie, Jabba, those days. I don't know. But then the thought, Joseph, comes to mind. Oh, great. We're going back to Tatooine. I'm okay with that, but a lot of people aren't. My mind goes in a lot of different thoughts and directions. You?
I think Jabba should be a submarine on Nal Hutta, and Han can meet him there, and everybody will be okay with it. No, I think there's a lot of realities to think about. I don't know if Solo 2... could be made as a movie right now because of everything that Jennifer is so wisely saying. I do think that there's a possibility that we're going to have a bit of a pendulum swing in big budget movies where we've had so many things that are so interconnected that I think people might be willing to go back to something like Indiana Jones or the way the James Bond movies always used to be of like, do you like that character? Do you like that world? Here's another adventure with them. Maybe they change a little bit, but it's basically just an adventure. And I wonder if that is an idea for Han. If it is just like, hey, it's his first job with Jabba. And there's, you know, hey, how much is he going to embrace the crime world? He has to go through a little bit of a change there. But beyond that, can we get the stakes kind of high for some of the other characters? Can Han just go on a fun adventure? I wonder if those are some of the thoughts creatively. And then there's the real world reality of, yeah, probably not released in theaters. Is Disney Plus interested in doing movies? All that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, to be honest, I don't know if they are. I don't know if they are. We shall see. It's just fascinating. I love it. I love that for a movie that came out in 2018 with a ton of problems and rumors still circulating around it and box office failures and all those kind of think pieces around that, it's still being talked about and people are still asking about it. And you still have like the fine folks, the Resistance Broadcast and their Make Solo 2 campaign, Jonas commenting on it. That to me shows that the movie succeeded. Somehow, some way, it's still there in our minds and in our hearts. Love that. And love Light and Magic. We'll talk about that on Force Center, I'm sure, soon enough. Whether or not we do a deep dive or not depends on our schedule, but it was a wonderful series. Finally finished that up and fascinating. I think Lawrence Kasdan did a great job. And I love there's only a couple moments, but you do hear his distinct voice in the background on a couple of interviews. Before we leave, we're going to talk about this day in this week in Star Wars history, looking ahead to Star Wars Past, looking way ahead to August 11th, but going back to 1997, August 11th, 1997, StarWars.com released the first installment of a five-part behind-the-scenes daily documentary, Anatomy of a Dewback, which was about the making of the digital creatures for the upcoming special edition re-release of A New Hope. And another groundbreaking move for Lucasfilm, this was one of the first times a movie studio produced something like this to be specifically released on the internet. Good old internet distribution, that model, way back in 1997. So first question, well, it's a pair of questions. Do you remember this? And did you watch it in 1997? Because my answer to that is no and no. I had no idea about this. Jennifer, were you plugged in?
I did not know that this existed. I actually watched it last night for the first time. So yeah, I was like, what? How has this not been on my radar? It's fascinating. It's like getting into the mind of George Lucas. I mean, there was so much work that was put into this very short sequence. And I remember being in the theater and seeing it for the first time and seeing that Dewback and seeing more troopers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, this is so cool. Because I remember at the time I was like, why does this need to be done? Right? It's right, the movie's right. Perfect the way that it is. But then when I saw that in the theater, I thought, oh, and to this day, I think that those changes, it really does improve the experience. It makes it much more, I don't want to say relevant, but I get it. I get George's vision. And it's incredible that he kept all of his old negatives and things like that. I mean, it's just, oh, it's fascinating. I highly recommend it. It's on YouTube. You can find it if you search for it.
I am going to do that. I'm disappointed I didn't do that myself last night. You did great research, Jen. Joseph, I think we're in a similar spot. This is all news to me. I saw this on the Star Wars app and went, what are you talking about, internet?
Yeah, I found out about Anatomy of a Dewback from your rundown for our show today. I would have thought Anatomy of a Dewback was maybe like some Jane Austen novel I've never heard of. I don't know. But I can't wait to watch it on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited about it. Now, yeah, I remember being kind of a little mixed in 97 of like, do we need this computer animation? Because I was a little bit of a hipster about it back then. I will own that. But I did like, yeah, no, I can see that. If you just had an animals with a head on the stick that didn't move and had no life. And now that Dewback feels like, I don't want this stormtrooper riding me. Yeah. The Dewback has personality now. So I absolutely love that. But to answer your question, Ken, I am also in the camp of no and no. Didn't know this existed. I was not online in 1997. I became online when I got my job at Kinko's in 1998, and I had free access to the internet for the first time. Then I was like, hey, this internet stuff turns out it's pretty good. And then look at us now.
Look at us now.
Follow all three of us on TikTok now. I wanted to pull this to discuss it to see if I was alone in this, and I guess I'm not alone, which is comforting. It's weird. Like I was online. When I was working at radio and we had a radio station website and I used to write articles for it, like blog or whatever that was called then. And so I'd go to the website and I'd go to the Spice Girls website to do a quiz to talk about on the show and make fun of them until I ended up loving the band. And I didn't think to look up Star Wars. I didn't think to type in www.starwars. I didn't think of it. And you know, the news doesn't travel as fast back then because you're not on social media and all those kind of things now that we I guess would take for granted. So I'm going to watch this fascinating. And I kind of wish I did. I'm with you both. Sat there going, I don't know, that Dubak looked weird. You telling me computers are making movies? Now I had that attitude. Whoever went did. Watch Light and Magic. Watch Light and Magic and kind of salty George going, yeah, no one got it. I did. Like, he's kind of... Mm-hmm. Kind of has that thought, and he's not necessarily wrong. So this is fascinating, and it might have helped me if I had seen the process, because even when I do sometimes get still a little grumpy about some of the tech, you know, the conversation around the volumes almost become exhausting, and I'm part of it, and I admit that. But even then, once I see Hal Hickel or Richard Bluff or all these people or just the effort and the, you know, the love that goes into it, I take it in a little differently. And I think I might have looked at that Dubak a little differently in 1997 if I had known what was going into it. So. Hey, glad they released this. I'm going to watch it. Never too late to learn, you know? Mm-hmm.
Love that Dubak now.
Love it. Love it now. I love the Dubaks there. All right. That is it. That's Force Center for this week. We'll get on out of here. We're on Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcast available on a lot of spots. Just search. You'll find us. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, any place that says, hey, want to leave a rating or review, we'd appreciate that if you want to take the time to do that. You know, if you don't have time, don't worry. As well. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/ForeCenter. You can support us directly at patreon.com/ForeCenter. You can follow me at KatNapsok or go to my website, KatNapsok.com. That's where you can get information on upcoming shows, just like Brian B.C. Tiller did when he showed up to watch me perform at Flappers. There you go. Jen, what about you?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Jennifer Landa, and TikTok, where I will be making some videos at Jennifer Landa 1138.
You go. Joseph, where can they find and follow you, including your face on TikTok?
Yes, you can find me on all the social media there, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok. All of my handles are at Joseph Scrimshaw. And yes, I'm going to be doing some more action figure sharing and some more face sharing. I didn't mean to phrase it that way. That was weird. Anyway, if you want to find all my other stuff, it's on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. In particular, this coming week, I will be at the great convention in Minneapolis, Convergence. I'll be doing a Star Wars panel that I'm going to try to record for Force Center called How to Live Like a Jedi with some great people. And then I'm going to be doing a big stand-up show called Joseph Scrimshaw Versus Emotions on Friday night of the convention. So if you're interested, check that out. Again, details on my website, josephscrimshaw.com.
There you go. Check it out. I expect Force Center listeners in that area to head on out there. I expect it. I demand it. No, I'm kidding. But get some good pictures. All right. That is it for this week. We'll see you next time here on Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.